Welcome to the First Baptist Church of Ponder podcast. We are located at the corner of Highway 2449 and Highway 156 in Ponder, Texas. If you have any questions about First Baptist Church, contact us at www.fbcponder.org. And now, today's message.
I want to ask you a very solemn question this morning to start with. And I want you to really think about it. Has it ever cost you something to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you ever had to make a real sacrifice for Jesus? I mean, really. A really significant sacrifice, a price that you paid to follow Christ. The New Testament scholar William Barclay said, "There are so many of us who have never in our lives made anything like a real sacrifice for Jesus Christ. The moment when Christianity seems likely to cost us something is the moment when it is open to us to demonstrate our loyalty to Jesus Christ in a way that all the world can see. The best opportunity that you and I have to demonstrate loyalty to Jesus Christ occurs at the moment when it costs us something to be loyal. To seize that kind of opportunity will require that you have come to the end of yourself. So we've been talking about for weeks now, how to live a life of self-denial, of death to self, that we might follow Jesus. He said, you can't follow me if you don't do that. And you cannot seize an opportunity to demonstrate your loyalty to Jesus by paying a great price unless you have come to the end of yourself. Otherwise, you won't be willing to make any sacrifice at all for the name of Jesus. Now, according to Jesus' own words, as you follow Him, you will be challenged with such opportunities. Opportunities to sacrifice for His name and thus to demonstrate loyalty to Him. And those opportunities come in the form of persecution. That's what Jesus communicates to us as we come to the last of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And I hope you'll turn there in your copy of God's Word and follow along. And it'll be on the screen for you to follow as well. We come to the last of these where Jesus describes for us what it means to live the abundant life. The life that God Himself enjoys, that honors God above all else. And He ends that section we know of as the Beatitudes with these words in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, the first truth I want you to see from the text this morning is this. Followers of Jesus should expect persecution. For faithful followers of Jesus Christ, it's not if persecution comes, it's when. In verse 11, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when," not if, "blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." If you're faithfully following Jesus, that will happen to you, without a doubt. You will be insulted, persecuted, slandered, among other things. Now, it's not because you're special. That's always been true of God's people. Jesus, in the text in verse 12, makes reference to the Old Testament prophets. He says, in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And we know the prophet Isaiah, by tradition, was persecuted by the king of Israel, Manasseh. He was placed in a log and sawn in two. The great prophet Jeremiah was beaten and imprisoned and thrown, as you can read into Jeremiah chapter, I think, 37, thrown into a cistern to die. And we all know the story of the great prophet Daniel, who was thrown into the lion's den because he refused to bow his knee to anyone but the Lord God. The New Testament story continues in the same way. We know, of course, most importantly, the Lord Jesus himself was persecuted. Throughout his life, insulted and slandered, in the end arrested, spit upon, beaten, and ultimately put to death. Jesus told his followers just before he died, recorded in John chapter 15 and verse 18 and 19, he said to his disciples, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it, but you're no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you." Persecution would come as a result of that hate. We just got through, in the last few months, going through the book of Acts in many of our Sunday school classes, and we saw it in chapter after chapter that was true. We saw how Peter and the other apostles on many occasions were threatened and beaten and imprisoned. We saw the first Christian to give his life, at least that's recorded in the Word of God, Stephen, who was stoned to death because of his faith. And one of the men who participated in that stoning and in those persecutions was a man named Saul, who, when he met Jesus Christ, had his life radically changed. His name then changed to Paul. More than all the persecution he ever dealt out, he himself endured. You can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He tells there about how on 5 different occasions he was flogged with the 39 lashes. A number of occasions he was stoned and beaten with rods, imprisoned, and history tells us was eventually beheaded because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And that has been the story all down through human history, and indeed is prevalent today, maybe even more so than in some of the times in the past. According to Open Doors, which is an organization that ministers around the world to persecuted Christians, this very hour, there are over 100 million followers of Jesus Christ in over 65 countries in our world that are persecuted specifically because they are believers in Jesus Christ. Open Doors tells us that last year, 2015, was the worst year in modern history for people being put to death because they believed in Jesus. Over 7,500 believers in Christ were martyred for their faith. Over 2,400 churches damaged or destroyed. In fact, according to some sources, over the last 115 years, more believers have died for their faith than in the previous 19 centuries. Persecution is very much alive today, isn't it? Who can forget the scene from February the 15th of 2015, where those 21 Coptic Christians from Egypt, clad in orange jumpsuits, forced to kneel in the sands as black-clad Muslims stood over them, demanding that they renounce their faith in Jesus Christ, and when they refused, they were beheaded. All over the world, followers of Jesus Christ, our brothers and sisters in Him, are being beaten and raped and imprisoned and killed. I would suggest probably even at this very moment while we enjoy this worship service. And the Word of God says we're not going to be any different. Why should we expect to be any different? Why should we expect anything less? Now, granted, in America, we are blessed in that our persecution is far less severe. Persecution can take many forms. It certainly takes violent forms sometimes, but it also can be verbal. Jesus acknowledges that in verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. It can take the form of ridicule and ostracism. Sometimes it can mean the loss of relationships with family and with friends. Sometimes it can impact you in the workplace with a loss of a job or demotion of some kind. It can even, and sometimes does, result in fines being imposed because you refuse to compromise your standards. It can even mean jail. Quite frankly, I'm a little embarrassed about us as American Christians. I think there's a little too much whining in America about all the persecution we suffer. When you hear these stories and you look around the world at what our brothers and sisters in Christ are going through, when you consider what they're going through compared to what we're going through, it's a little embarrassing that we're such whiners in the face of it. Persecution is real. And it is real in the United States, and perhaps and probably will become increasingly frequent and perhaps even more severe. And the Word of God says we should not be caught off guard. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Persecution is not strange or surprising. It is expected. Now, why is that? Why did Jesus say you should expect it? Why does it happen? What is the cause? Well, look at our text in verse 10. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness." And then in verse 11, he says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you." Why? Because of me. Paul says it like this in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." Now, this may sound strange to you at first, but I want you to really think about it. You'll know it's true. The Word of God says it is. Jesus was and is a very divisive personality. Very divisive. In Matthew 10:34, Jesus himself said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now, we understand that he came to bring peace with God and make peace, but he also was declaring there that in his coming to bring peace with God and bring peace among people, that there would also be a stirring up of conflict. Jesus divided families then. He says in another place that a father will hate his children. Children will hate their father. A husband and a wife will be divided. Jesus divided families then, and he divides families now. Friends divide over Jesus. Nations certainly divide. They did then, and they still do today. And it's because Jesus doesn't allow neutrality. You either accept him or you reject him. In not accepting him, you're rejecting him. And it is the spiritual nature of things that those who reject Jesus will always oppose, to one degree or another, those who have accepted him. So persecution is certain because Jesus is divisive. And if you're faithful to him, you're going to bring upon yourself the opposition of those who have rejected the fact that he is Lord. And it'll only be because of Jesus, but because of the righteous life he calls us to live. Because of righteousness. That righteous life that he calls us to live, it will be divisive. It will stir up opposition. Think about it this way. The Bible says we're called as Christians to be salt and light. Now what happens? If you have a cut in your hand and you get salt in it, what happens? And what do you try to do? You try to get rid of it, don't you? If you have a wound and salt gets in it and it stings and it hurts, and what do you want to do? You want to get rid of the salt. In the same way, if you're in a dark place and you want to be in the dark because what you're doing is evil, you don't want to be seen in some form or fashion, and all of a sudden somebody comes and shines a light in the dark that you're enjoying, what happens? You yell and scream, "Turn off that light." You want to be rid of the life. You try to snuff it out. persecution comes in many forms from those who are trying to those who are trying to be salt and light in a corrupt and dark world that likes its corruption and likes its darkness. It's going to try to snuff out the light and be rid of the salt. Persecution is going to come because you insist on holding to God's moral standards and you call for others to do so as well. Persecution is going to come because you refuse to compromise the truth of the Word of God, because you refuse to bow your knee to any other God. It will come because we insist on the truth of John 14:6, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Him. And the truth of Acts 4:12, that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, there's the two things, righteousness and Jesus. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, it's really important to note, and this is just this is very germane to the subject, it's important to note what does not constitute persecution for faith. Because you see, sometimes some Christians suffer and they call it persecution, but it's not because they're so faithful to Jesus Christ. It's not persecution if you're suffering because you're obnoxious or because you are tactless or foolish. Jesus was none of those things. Jesus was never obnoxious. He was never tactless in what he did. By your misbehaving or your offensive words or behavior, I didn't put the verse up for you, but 1 Peter 4:15, it says, don't let your suffering come because you're a meddler. You know, somebody meddles in other people's life. Peter said, don't suffer because of meddling. You see, persecution is unmerited. I mean, the person persecuting thinks you deserve it, but the truth is you don't deserve to be treated like you're being treated. That's persecution. But when you earn it, when you merit it because of your obnoxious or foolish meddling behavior, then it's not persecution at all. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, for it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Now notice that last phrase in that verse. It says, if you endure it, this is commendable. That's the second truth I want you to see. First, we should expect persecution. Secondly, the followers of Jesus will endure persecution. Let's read the text again in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Now, what I want you to see there, you hear all that word, all that talk about blessing, reward. Those don't come merely because you're persecuted. The blessing and the reward that you're promised assumes that you remain faithful to Jesus in the face of persecution. In other words, the fact that you're persecuted and then all of a sudden you betray Jesus, all of a sudden you stop living the holy life, you stop being vocal about what you believe, you stop it, blessing and reward doesn't come to you. It doesn't come just in the mere fact that you're persecuted. It comes assuming that you remain faithful to Jesus in the face of it. That you don't turn away from living for Jesus, that you continue to worship Him and Him alone, that you continue to live a holy and godly life and lift up the standards that are there in the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, Peter said, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. That's what it means to endure. It doesn't mean just gut up and make sure you somehow get through it. It means endure. Stay strong in the face of the persecution. Remain true to Christ and true to the life he's called us to live. Now, as always, Jesus is our example. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, it describes Jesus as he hung on the cross when he died there for our sin, that we might have forgiveness, might have a way back to God, otherwise we wouldn't have. It says, for the joy set before him, Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So Jesus hung there on the cross. He could have come off. He could have stayed. We know he submitted himself voluntarily to the will of the Father to die in our place so we wouldn't have to suffer the judgment for our sin if we would believe in him and place our faith in him. But Jesus, he could have come down, but he chose not to. He chose to remain, even though it cost him his very life. And the writer of Hebrews says, when you're suffering persecution, you remember Jesus hanging in there on the cross. Consider him. Focus on him. Keep your mind focused on him so you won't grow weary. He hung there for you. He stayed there for you. He endured the persecution for you. Now you follow his example. And there are many other examples in our world today of such faithful endurance. Aisha Bibi is a follower of Jesus in the nation of Pakistan, one of the foremost countries for persecution in our world. She works there as a housekeeper. It is a common thing to have happen there, what Jesus said in our text would happen. It's not uncommon that believers are falsely accused of various crimes. Then they are arrested and they try to get them to renounce their faith by threatening imprisonment. But if they'll renounce their faith in Jesus, then they'll be let go of the charges. Well, Aisha experienced that. She was falsely accused of stealing from her employer's home. She was arrested, and in the course of things, she strongly denied the charge and refused to acknowledge that she had done that because she was innocent. So the police arrested her son, and in front of her eyes, tortured her son, trying to get them to get her to renounce Jesus Christ. She continued to maintain her innocence. Finally, they gave up and they sent her away, but the police killed her son and dumped his body in front of her home. And here's how she responded. She said, "I have great faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is my Savior, and he suffered death for my sins. I am asked to convert to Islam every day. I have lost my son, but I will not give up my Lord. Instead, I will serve him, and one day I will meet again with my precious son." So you look to Jesus, said you look to that kind of faithfulness to inspire our endurance. Remember what the Word of God says over and over and over, and that is this, is that endurance is one of the marks of a true follower of Jesus Christ. You see, the blessing and the reward that Jesus promises here don't come because you endure. Jesus doesn't mean here, if you endure it, then the blessing and reward will come. If you're in Jesus Christ, the blessings he talks about here, the blessing of heaven, the reward of heaven, that's already yours in Jesus Christ. You don't earn it by enduring persecution any more than you earn it by living a godly life or in any other way. It's the gift of God through grace. They are the position of all who know Jesus. What he means by that is the fact that you endure is a sign that you really do know Jesus Christ. So that if you find yourself not enduring persecution, unwilling to stand tall for Jesus Christ in any and every situation, your lack of endurance should cause you to question your faith. Do I really know him? Another legitimate question that we all ask, I know, as we think about that, okay, I do know Jesus, I know. I want to endure persecution. But you have the question, perhaps, I want to be faithful. I just don't know if I can. You might think, well, I can do that at work or at school or in the neighborhood, but what if I faced what Asia Bibi faced? What if they're torturing my child in front of my very eyes? What if I was threatened with that? Would I be? I want to be faithful, but would I be? Corrie ten Boom, many of you have read her books and seen the movie of The Hiding Place. She had fame of rescuing so many Jews during World War II. She tells how, as a little girl, she went to her father on one occasion and said, "Daddy, I'm afraid that I'll never be strong enough to be a martyr for Christ." And her father responded this way. He said, "Tell me, when you take a train trip to Amsterdam, when do I give you the money for the trip? Do I give it to you 3 weeks ahead of time?" And Corrie said, I told him, "No, Daddy, you give me the money for the ticket just before we get on the train." And he said, "That's right. And so it is with God's strength. Our Father in heaven knows when you'll need the strength to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. He will supply all you need just in time." God calls us to be faithful, and he will enable our endurance in the face of persecution. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul prayed a prayer for the church at Thessalonica. It's a prayer you could pray for yourself, that we could pray for one another. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. The same perseverance that enabled Jesus to stay on the cross can be yours to stay faithful in the midst of whatever persecution comes our way. Now, last thing I want you to see is this. Not only are we called to persevere and endure, but we're to do so with a certain attitude, with a certain mindset. And so the third truth I want you to see is this. Followers of Jesus can exult in persecution. When we read the verses a moment ago, verses 10 through 12, does it not capture you the strange words that are associated with what Jesus says? Listen as we follow along. Blessed, abundant life, God's quality of life, abundant, victorious life, blessed are those who are persecuted? That didn't make any sense to us, but that's what Jesus said. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, there it is again. Blessed are you. This sounds crazy. Jesus sometimes sounds crazy. Blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And then he says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When we first started this series, we talked about what it means to be blessed. And I've just described it for you. Again, to experience the highest type of well-being that you can in this world. And so you're to be congratulated. You're to be envied, some translations say. Because you suffer. And he says, rejoice and be glad. This, the Greek word for rejoice there, is a word that means to leap for joy. I chose this word exult because it's a word that conveys that same thing. That means to be extremely joyful. Not just kind of with a smile on your face, but one of the obsolete definitions of that word in English is also the same as the Greek. To leap for joy, exult, rejoice greatly, have extreme joy when you're persecuted. Now that's weird. It's not an emotion. It is an attitude. It is a perspective from which you and I are to view any suffering that comes our way. Rejoice and be glad. Not because persecution is fun. It's not. There's nothing fun about it. You consider yourself blessed. Not because suffering is so enjoyable. But Jesus says this. Because of what it reflects about you. And because of the rewards that await you. He says you can rejoice, count yourself blessed because of what enduring persecution reflects about you. He said Great is your reward, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When you suffer, when you endure, you are reflecting that you're in the line of the godly. You're like Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Isaiah and numerous other prophets we can name throughout the Old Testament. You're like Jesus. You're Christ-like when you're being suffered, when you're suffering persecution. In fact, you're being enough like Jesus that they're treating you like they treated him. Rejoice. Be glad that you're that much like him. In Acts chapter 5, Peter and the other apostles were arrested for sharing the gospel. After being arrested, they were flogged, and then they were threatened with their very life if they went about any more preaching. And in Acts 5:41, it said, the apostles left the meeting full of joy. Now think about that. They'd just been beaten and flogged and threatened, and it says they left full of joy. Why? Because they were given the honor. And you heard that in the testimony, didn't you? You hear that one man who said the same thing? They were given the honor of suffering disgrace for Jesus. You rejoice because of what you're reflecting. I'm so much like Jesus that they're persecuting me like they persecuted him. Remember, your life goal is to be like Jesus. That's the whole purpose of our existence, and one day we'll be just like him. That's why you rejoice. I'm already so much like him that they're treating me like they did him. Rejoice. And Jesus said, rejoice because of the rewards that await you. I direct your attention again. I hope you're not tired of reading it. The text, look at it. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The reward is heaven itself and all that goes with it, primarily God himself, where we will see him face to face, and in that moment become just like him and forever enjoy his quality of life. That's the reward that awaits us. Now, don't misunderstand. I said already, in suffering, you're not trying to earn those rewards. Now, this may sound kind of sick to you, but this would be true. If that were the case, if you're trying to earn these rewards, then it might be an encouragement to you to experience all the persecution you can. Does that make sense? I mean, you get more of God, more of heaven, more of joy in heaven and eternity. The more persecution, if that's what Jesus meant, then you think, well, the more persecution, then the more reward. But that's not what Jesus meant. We're never told in the Word of God that we're to seek persecution. We're not supposed to go, oh boy, let's go find it so I can be more like Jesus. No, you're sick if you seek persecution. Something's wrong with you. You don't seek it. You don't pursue it. It's just that it's going to come. And when it comes, you don't retreat from it or from your faith, and you don't resent it, but rather rejoice in it. And Jesus says you rejoice in it by focusing on the reward that's already been promised you in Jesus Christ. And you keep it at the forefront of your heart and mind as you suffer. You let the world's persecution of you be a reminder to you that this world is not your home. You weren't made for this world. You're not destined for this world. You're destined for a better one. I read this week about a Christian woman in Saudi Arabia, another country where there's much persecution. She tells how she was struggling to understand why her friend Mina was martyred while she was miraculously delivered from that persecution. And she concludes, she says, too often, even Christians forget that our faith is not primarily for this life. It is for the life to come. We who are still here are the ones who have been left behind. Our real life has not even begun, but for martyrs like Mina, it has. The Bible said that these rewards will more than make up for our suffering one day, that our joy there will be far greater than any pain we experience here. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Or as the old gospel song says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. So in the midst of persecution, you practice and pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 17 and 18. Paul said, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Jesus said, be reminded of the blessedness of the rewards that await you and rejoice. Tom Doyle is a missionary in the Middle East, which is, of course, a hotbed for persecution. He's written several books. In his book called Killing Christians, Tom notes that where persecution is rampant, the kingdom of God is growing in spectacular ways. You and I rejoice in America, he notes, because we don't have to suffer that kind of persecution. But the kingdom of God not expanding all that greatly in America. Church is on the decline, attendance is poor, and Christianity seems to be on the way down in America. But another place in the world where we think, oh, poor Christians have to suffer, there they're seeing the kingdom of God explode with growth. The gospel thrives, he suggests, in climate where hostility and danger and martyrdom are present. He said persecution and the spread of the gospel are as inseparable as identical twins. Suffering propels the growth of Jesus movements around the world. And he says that's why God allows persecution, because it makes the kingdom of God expand at an ever greater rate. And then he closes his thoughts by asking these two questions, and it brings us back around to where we began. I asked you earlier, have you ever sacrificed anything for Jesus? Tom Doyle asked these two questions. He says, are you willing to suffer for Jesus? And secondly, are you willing to die for Jesus? And then he says, for you as a believer, if you answer yes to those two questions, this is a spiritual game changer. Everything will be different now.
That concludes today's message. Thanks for listening to First Baptist Church of Ponder podcast. If you have any questions about First Baptist Church or want to know more about Jesus Christ, contact us at www.fbcponder.org.